Today, good morning, everybody.
Good morning, teacher.
Come on. Welcome to Wings Christian Fellowship Adult Sunday School Discussion Group. Remember, we are a discussion group here, so let's discuss. And today, we are going to begin 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And I think there's really no stopping place in chapter 14. It's a pretty long one. So, but it's all to me when I read it over and got thinking, you know, about it. It's all about speaking in tongues. That's what I got out of it. Who should, who shouldn't. And I even have dreams about speaking in tongues last night because.
She spoke in tongues in the middle of the night.
I did not.
I don't know, but I don't think it was spiritual tongues.
Please, you guys. Okay. So, whose turn is it to read today?
Oh, is it mine? All right.
Brenda?
Yes.
Okay. Well, if you want to go all the way through, that's fine. If, you know, I'm not going to tell you what to do on this, because it's long even in the King James. I can't even imagine. Yes.
Can I suggest something?
Yeah.
And the Phillips is broke down into like three sections.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's broke down into five sections.
Okay. Right,
so the first section.
And that way, we can give actually time that we need for what's due when it's broken down.
Okay.
Can I tell you where it's broke down? So that way, it actually in Phillips, it does the first five verses first.
Okay, right. Let's do that then.
Sorry.
Fantastic. Right. Thank you, Clyde.
Thank you. Eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim, your great quest, and earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowments, gifts, especially that you may prophesy, interpret the divine will and purpose in inspired preaching and teaching. For one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men but to God, but no one understands or catches his meaning, because in the Holy Spirit he utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. But on the other hand, the one who prophesies, who interprets the divine will and purpose in inspired preaching and teaching, speaks to men for their upbuilding and constructive spiritual progress and encouragement and consolation. Now, he who speaks in a strange tongue edifies and improves himself. But he who prophesies, interpreting the divine will and purpose and teaching with inspiration, edifies and improves the church and promotes growth in Christian wisdom, piety, holiness, and happiness. Now I wish that you might all speak in unknown tongues, but more especially, I want you to prophesy, to be inspired, to preach, and interpret the divine will and purpose. For he who prophesies, who is inspired to preach and teach, is greater and more useful and more important than he who speaks in unknown tongues, unless he should interpret what he says, so that the church may be edified and receive good from it. So that's 1 to 5.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes. Now I wanted to ask, go ahead.
No.
I wanted to ask a question. Did anybody read in there that you aren't saved if you don't speak in tongues? Did anybody in there read that you are filled with the Holy Spirit if you don't speak in tongues? No, I didn't. When I went to another, before I started coming here, I went to another spirit-filled, I don't know what you call them, charismatic church. Mm-hmm. And they were one of these bigger churches that had, classes, you know, to, I would say, indoctrinate, but to them it was to teach, you know. And
their beliefs.
Every single, and they were talking about speaking in tongues, and they said every single time, and they went through the whole thing, and said when this happened, they all glorified God and were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Mm-hmm. They were all glorified and they spoke in tongues and had miracles. But whatever it was, it was always, and they spoke in tongues. And so I always, to me, it was a judgment that if you don't speak in tongues, you know, you're not quite as good as the most respected ones. Clive.
You were talking about on the day of Pentecost, right? That was when they gathered in a room,
yes,
and they had all things common. The common thing was the wind moved and the Holy Spirit came upon them. And, you know, that's a whole, to me, that's a whole different thing.
They were in a
what I get out
crossroads of humanity.
What I get out of the first five verses here,
mm-hmm,
is the building up of the church.
Yes.
Is to edify the church.
Right.
And it doesn't probably say this either. If it doesn't edify the church, I didn't read that in there either. I mean, because I think that's what it's supposed to do.
Exactly.
I think that when you come, you ought to come as one that is seeking that which would edify the church. When we gather, we should, I mean, I don't want to say this. When I was in the closet by myself, yes, I mm-hmm spoke that tongues.
Mm-hmm.
But that was between me and God.
Amen.
And I thought, well, I haven't done it a whole lot, or if any, to be honest with you, other than in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know how to interpret tongues and stuff like that. Because, you know, if in order for us to be in order, because God's a God of order, we need to be able to interpret, or to at least, you know, if he uses you to speak in tongues, you ought to be able to interpret it. I think I almost take it, and it doesn't say this either. I almost think that if you can't interpret it, then you shouldn't say it.
But he doesn't always give the interpretation to the one that speaks it.
That's right.
Well, that's what it says. But, I mean, to me, I had a lady, I was doing a graduation ceremony. She stood up. I don't know how long I was into it, because I don't do long. She stood up, and she spoke for a good 5 minutes in tongues. Mm-hmm. Well, the whole time, of course, she didn't know what I was thinking. I was up there saying, okay, Lord, if she's going to speak in tongues, then give her the interpretation of her tongues.
Well,
did he give it to someone?
When I was,
it should have been interpreted then.
Everybody should. If somebody starts speaking in tongues out loud in the mm-hmm assembly or something, everybody in this assembly should start praying and asking the Lord to give the interpretation.
Yeah. Right.
Because it's a prophetic word if it's mm-hmm given like that usually, and you know, otherwise, I'm like Clyde. You should basically do it in your closet, you know. And there's nothing wrong with you, you know, speaking in tongues, if you speak in tongues. And I'm talking about you where you get real loud with it out, you know, to where you're above everybody else. Then it's usually a prophetic word, and it should mm-hmm be
interpreted.
And it should be interpreted.
So how does it benefit then? If she did all that,
yeah,
and then there was no one that interpreted, then yeah, no one had any understanding. Yeah.
Well,
inspiration from that word.
I'll give you an example. When my grandfather died, my aunt was holiness,
mm-hmm,
Pentecostal, whatever, you know. I mean, the bun and the whole deal.
She was,
you know,
pilgrim,
I mean,
holiness, probably.
Yeah. And she came out of the church and she started speaking in tongues real loud in front of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't say anything then because I was a fairly young Christian.
Right.
But when we got in the car, I told her, I said, when you were saying that, you know, because I was,
sure,
I didn't really know exactly how to function in that stuff yet. And when she got in the car, I told her, when you were speaking in tongues, I said, I felt like the Lord said, the interpretation of what you said was, for surely my son is in my care now.
Amen. That's good.
Did you give it?
I gave it to her. Yeah, I gave it to her. I didn't give it out in, you know, she was coming out of the church and we were getting in the cars and she started real loud, you know,
mm-hmm,
and like I said, I was
hearing others.
Well, there was others around, but I mean, you know, I was in the process of getting in the car too, I think.
Right.
And when we got in the car, I said to her, I said, well, I feel like the Lord gave me the interpretation of what your thing in tongues was. for surely my son is in my care now. Mm-hmm. You know, because she was the kind of holding this person. If you didn't speak in tongues, you weren't saved, mm-hmm. as far as she was concerned. Mm-hmm. You know, that was, and Grandpa didn't. You know, he was a Christian, but I don't believe he, you know.
But he knew Jesus.
Well, sure, he was a Christian. He knew God.
Actually, we go back to this. We actually go back to Romans, the 8th chapter. What verse is it, 38 or 39? What shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Now, we actually go back to that. I mean, if there's separation there because somebody doesn't, shame on those that do that judge that like that. Because the facts are, I had it was my aunt. They wanted me to pray with her. She was getting ready to pass. So I went over and prayed with her. And when I stopped, she began to speak in tongues. And the Lord gave me the whole interpretation of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But there was three of us in there with her. But when she spoke in tongues, all of a sudden I was the only one in there. Mm-hmm. It actually scared the other ones. Mm-hmm. But she, I'm not kidding, she was announcing in tongues that she was heaven bound. She was going to heaven. She's mm-hmm. getting ready to come, getting ready to cross over, or however you want to say it. And I thought it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And when I had her service, I told them that. I go, like it's out of her own mouth, she was admitting that she was crossing over. Mm-hmm. She's getting ready to cross over. And I said, she didn't live. I don't think she lived a half an hour after that. But the whole thing was, is I go, like it's, isn't it thrilling to know that you know? Mm-hmm. See,
sister went. God was dealing with her heart, the one that's meant to be with the Lord, the one that I told you that God, she's in a coma, and God had me speak, you know, to her, and she looked at me with recognition, you know. She wanted me to come spend the weekend. She lived in London then, in Ohio, and she said, I'll come over and spend the weekend. You go to church with me. She said, all right, I'll go to church with you. And I said, a church that's preaching salvation, not just, you know,
right.
She said, all right. So we went to a Pentecostal church over there. And when she was sitting there, God started dealing with her heart. She started crying, crying right in God. And she went up and they prayed with her.
Yeah.
Well, that whole week, the sisters tarried with her to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which she did. So when she went to church that next Sunday, I went over and went there, and they were saying that, you know, she was saved. They looked at, she wasn't saved until when she had tarried and received the baptism. And she said, they said, oh, our sister Sandra got, and she, they had her come up front, and she blew their little tradition all out. She said, when I came up here last Sunday, I gave my heart to the Lord, and I received him then.
Right.
And that yes, she did. She let them know that she had Christ. She had him then. They went through the formality of all this tearing.
They wanted to explain theirs.
For a whole week.
Yep.
Nobody said nothing. You could have heard that. What could they say? She was the one giving her testimony. They were trying to testify for her, according to their tradition,
mm-hmm.
that when she received the Holy Spirit and spoke mm-hmm. in tongues,
well,
the speaking of the tongue, that she was saved.
Well, I actually got on a minister who came here one time, and I did get on him a little bit because I thought he when he was preaching his sermon, he basically was saying, he was kind of downing people that didn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, in other words, the speaking in tongues and so on and so forth. And at that particular time, Tim A was our worship leader, and his father was here. And I had let his father get up and say something. His father ran a Bible Institute over in India, and they passed out Bibles to all the people over in all the different dialects that they have. See, they have a ton of different languages in India.
Yeah.
They don't have one, just one language. They got a bunch of them. And he would have Bibles translated into all their different languages that they spoke, and would pass them out, you know. And it was a big Bible institute. I mean, it was pretty large. Anyway, so this guy gets up after that and he starts downing them.
Oh yeah.
Basically, is what he was doing. And when he got done, and he even
downing
could say
them how? Downing them how?
Well, about them not really receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit in his message. That's what he was implying without coming out and saying it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I don't think he liked the fact that basically a Baptist person, because I think that's what
that's
you would have said
was.
He was,
right.
A Baptist person had got up and spoke before him, you know. Mm-hmm. And he was a kingdom type minister, but he was very Pentecostal, you know, very Pentecostal. And he did say one time when he was up there, I could see he was stumbling around when he started saying that stuff.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit was actually chasing him a little bit.
Yeah, that's right.
Because he was. And he said, well, maybe I shouldn't say what I'm saying, or something like that. He said that.
Maybe.
And then when he came down, he said to me, he said, maybe I shouldn't have said what I said. And I said, maybe you shouldn't have. That's exactly what I said to him. I said, maybe you shouldn't have. And I said, let me tell you something, brother. I said, we had some plays where we interacted with the Baptist church, and I said, and they were special people, and I said, Baptist people a lot of times will get more people saved with mm-hmm. basic salvation, you know, than Pentecostal people do usually. And I said, and Pentecostal people have put up a wall between them and everybody else.
That's right.
And I said, and it's a shame that they've done that. I said, when we had those plays, I said some of the Baptist people had even made the statement they were afraid we would try to convert them.
Yeah.
I said, convert them to what? I mean, if they love the Lord, they're Christians, they're converted, you know what I mean? Whether they receive the baptism in the sense of speaking in tongues or they don't. Mm-hmm. They know the Lord, that's all that matters. You know, and people have put, I think, too much emphasis on speaking in tongues.
Amen.
What did Paul say? He said, I'd rather that y'all prophesy.
Amen.
Rather than speak in tongues, because that edifies people. And I want to read you this. And this was on the day of Pentecost.
What do you read?
It's in the book of Acts. It's in the second chapter, book of Acts. And it says, and they were all amazed. Well, let's go up a little higher. They all heard them speaking in all the different tongues, and they were talking about all these different, people that had different languages. Mm-hmm. But they all heard them talking about the magnificent part of, you know, the magnificent stuff of God. It's in chapter 2 of book of Acts, and you can start from the first and go all the way down. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came the sound of a from heaven of a rushing mighty wind that filled the house, and they were all sitting, and they appeared unto them cloven tongues like unto fire, and set on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there was dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised about, the multitude came together and were confounded, because of every man heard them speak in his own language. See? So there was, the interpretation was already there.
Right.
Of the people. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, behold, are not these all which speak Galileans? Because they were speaking in different languages, you know,
right. Mm-hmm.
Their languages that they knew. And it says, and now hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. See? And then it gives the different ones there. And he goes on down, I'm not going to read all that, but it goes on down and it says, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what means this? Others mocking, saying, these men are full of new wine. They're drunk. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, you men of Judea, all of you that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. And it says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you can go back to the book of Joel, and you can go back and read what he said. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. So really, when you're speaking in tongues out in, you're prophesying. That's a form of prophecy. Mm-hmm. So if it's done properly, the people in the congregation should begin to pray and say, Lord, give the interpretation to somebody. And a lot of times they'll give it to you. Mm-hmm. I had somebody else in the church one time, the Lord gave me a word, and I said, Lord, is this really you? If it is, give it to somebody else. And what happened? That person took off in exact same words that the Lord gave me.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But a lot of times God, you try the Spirit, and God will, he'll honor that when you're a baby Christian, because I was a pretty young Christian then. And said, my servants and my handmaidens, I will pour out my flesh in those days and my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, vapor, smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord. You know, but anyway, that was directly out of the book of Joel, but that's in the book of Acts, you know. Mm-hmm. So Peter's telling them what it's about. But the thing about it is Paul said, I would rather speak 10 words rather than 10,000 words, right. And I'm paraphrasing here,
right.
A little bit.
That's right.
In an unknown tongue. He said, because then people are edified by what you say and they can understand what you're saying. So even when he's saying here that he would rather that you prophesy, you know, First Corinthians 14, mm-hmm. You know, he would rather that you prophesy. That's because it edifies people; it builds them up. You know,
that's what King James says. Yeah. There's two places in there, 1-5. Where it talks about building up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I once again emphasize the fact that I'll just ask you a question. I know everybody knows the answer, but I'm going to ask the question anyway. As a body of Christ, are we to build up or tear down?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and are we to cause those divisions and all kinds of things among the brethren? No, we're not.
Yeah.
I would say that we're better off as a body to remain silent instead of causing confusion among the people. Well, I mean,
let me say this: when you're talking about are we to tear down, when the Lord called Jeremiah to be a prophet, he said he called him to be a prophet unto the nations, and he said he wanted him to build up and to tear down, but I believe God never tears down without the ultimate goal of building up.
Yes, amen.
He needs to tear down the traditions. He needs to tear down the things that are not of him, you know. And a lot of times, you know, what starts out as a wonderful thing, you know, in even the religions of, you know, speaking in tongues and so on and so forth, that's wonderful. If you receive that, wonderful. If you don't, that doesn't mean that God hasn't given you some other gift.
That's right.
You know, that's only one of the gifts of the mm-hmm. Spirit. That doesn't mean that he hasn't given you some other gift. Mm-hmm. And because I think that and I'm not trying to knock the Pentecostal people, but a lot of them have done that mm-hmm. because they have tried to lay so much condemnation on people over not speaking in tongues. They have alienated people away. And then what happens is those people come back and try to explain away all the gifts of the Spirit. You know what I mean? A lot of times.
Right, that's right.
In other denominations sometimes. Well, when that which is perfect is come, the impart will be done away with. The reason that the impart will be done away with, because it's the fullness of something.
Yeah.
And until the fullness of, and I got news for you, I hate to say it, I haven't seen the fullness of it.
No.
And no one out there yet, no one. And they can claim that they've got it all they want, but I've not seen it manifested. They might have it, and it's hidden down in a little dark room somewhere or something inside of them, because the manifestation of it hasn't totally come out. Because when it does, Jesus said, these works that I do shall you do, and greater works than these. We've not seen the greater works, you know. We've seen some wonderful things, and you know, there's been some wonderful ministries come forth, but there hasn't been anyone that's done what Jesus did. You know what I mean? Wow. I don't know one guy who's walked across the Ohio River.
That's right.
Unless it was frozen.
Well, if you go back to 12.
Well, I'm just, you know.
12 and what?
If you go to 1 Corinthians 12:8, it goes to no one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom to another message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still another, the interpretation of tongues.
Yeah, right.
But if you look at the footnote down here, it says, opinions differ over exactly what Paul meant by tongues. Some believe that this refers to speaking in earthly languages that a person did not know before, the same as the gifts described in Acts 24:8. Other scholars say this refers to an ecstatic language, a heavenly language. Most likely, the second view is correct. Probably the only time that word tongues refers to other earthly language is describing is Pentecost. The rest of the time, the word refers to ecstatic languages as unknown to anyone, languages of angels. Speaking in tongues is a legitimate gift of the Spirit. The exercise of the gift demands some guidelines to help the so that the purpose of the gift to help the body of Christ is not lost. Those who speak in tongues should follow the guidelines. Those who do not speak in tongues ought not seek the gift as a sign of salvation or a special closeness with God, for it is neither. It's a gift given, a gift of God given only to whoever he chooses. If a person has not experienced the gift of tongues, he or she ought not seek it, but seek what gifts God has given.
It's all about the edification of the body of Christ. The gifts were given for that. Let me read out of King James. It says, spiritual gifts are those given by the Spirit of God for the accomplishment of God's purpose in the world.
What are you reading from?
King James. I'm just reading 14? The footnote.
Oh, okay.
Okay, this is on chapter 12, 1 through 10. But anyway, it's covering a multitude here. Okay. It said, accomplish God's purpose in the world and for the edification of the church, or as said, the body of Christ. Two things are important to remember concerning spiritual gifts. One, every believer has been given spiritual gifts. Mm-hmm. Okay. Two, the gifts belong to God. Anyway, and are given for the believer to use for the glory of God. Mm-hmm. Now, I do believe that a lot of times they try to push it off on you. But I also believe that they believe it's for the glorifying of God. It might be an individual, no offense here, might be an individual glory, like trying to build herself up. But I'll tell you what, between the two of building yourself up and building edifying the body, we should edify the body every time. Amen. I mean, every time, not just every once in a while or take the notice. I had a thought over here, and I don't mean to be mean by it, but I've seen so many people do something with tongues, then look around and see who noticed them. And I go like this. I said, you better be looking to see if Christ is looking at you. I mean, you know, I would say that, you know, I love what Mike said about that, but I tell you what, Scripture will keep you exactly where it wants you. It's the thing that you quote her a lot. I don't forget her name, but that's kind of, God will do whatever it takes to get you wherever he wants you to be. I think that's true. And I've never seen somebody come to the Lord, and I'm just being real with you, that wasn't a broken vessel.
Yeah.
Because when his spirit draws you, there's a brokenness right here, right there. And that brokenness continues to come up to here.
Yes.
To where, oh my.
I just thought back to the day. Yes.
Yeah. The footnote on 11 here says, we are responsible to use and sharpen our gifts, but take no credit for what God has freely given to us.
Right.
Are you talking about verse 11?
Yeah.
All right, in verse 11, that's what I was just saying. It says all these gifts, these achievements, and these abilities are inspired and brought to pass by one and the same Holy Spirit,
right,
who apportions to each person individually exactly as he chooses. Mm-hmm. For just as the body is a unity, yet has many parts, mm-hmm, and all the parts, though many, form only one body, so it is with Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Mm-hmm. For by means of the personal agency, you know, of the Holy Spirit, we were all, whether Jews, Greeks, slaves, free, baptized, or by baptism, united together into one body, and all made to drink of the one Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Well, I believe that, just like it says, it's all from the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. But I also believe that It's our responsibility to search out what gifts that God has given us, and then it's our responsibility, like it says, to use and sharpen our abilities in that gift.
Well, in that gift, the Holy Spirit, if we're listening and wanting Him to deal with it, the Holy Spirit is the one that designed us to fit into a part of the body, mm-hmm, that we will fit tightly together, not loosely, but tightly. But we need to be able to be willing to say, even if I'm not accepted, we're accepted in the Beloved. I mean, that's how much we need to trust God. I mean, because it comes down to, a lot of times, it's not what mere man may think. Because, I mean, my goodness, if we thought, if we went by that all the time, we thought, well, first of all, we'd go out and say, well, I'm not worthy. I mean, who am I, right? I mean, that's what Moses basically said. Who am I? But, you know, but yet God used Aaron to give Moses what he wanted him to have, and then Moses gave it to whoever he was addressing. Mm-hmm. And then that's how God worked. I mean, it was almost like we've told God answers all prayer, and then we'll say that he answers it immediately. This is what most people want to see. He answers it delay. He answers it through another person, individual. And he answers no. I think I studied that enough to know that's basically the four process, answers.
In a process, because when God healed Brother Oscar, it was a process,
right,
wasn't it?
Right.
Well, and the other thing is that I loved what you said about your mom, when you said she did never feel that she was supposed to take me, right? Take me up,
right,
and have them pray for me.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think, because it's exciting. I've seen a few things. I'm saying a few to say that I haven't seen a lot, but I've seen a few things to where God wants us to try the Spirit. I can honestly tell you, we had a man, I think it was Brother Odell, at church where he's Amen Waltz, and he said that, you know, he said that a lot. But Debbie got in the prayer line. And I'm sitting back there, and I haven't got a mic at me, so I want you to make sure to do it. But I asked God, I just go, God, if he's of you, before he prays for her, let him step back and ask my permission. And that's exactly what he did. He looked at her and he goes like, your husband's trying the spirits. He stepped back off of her and he goes like, is this your wife? I said, yes, sir. He said, do I have your permission to pray for her? I said, yes, sir. Mm-hmm. But too many, what, the scripture, we've not only know it, but we've taught it a lot. Know those that labor among you. I mean, you know, I don't want this guy praying for somebody unless he's doing exactly what God says.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly his timing. And so many times, I don't like the way he prays. Well, I think sometimes I hate to use the word, rebel against the Spirit of God because we're not willing to fess up. That's exactly what we need. You know, sometimes we deny deliverance and freedom because we become a stumbling block to the Spirit. I don't know how to say it.
So. Well, it's a lot. You see the how the division and misunderstanding are from the traditions of men.
Right.
And like you have, you don't like the way somebody prays. You're used to somebody praying this way, you're used to that. And still looking at things, and it's your belief, your traditions and that, and it's not always at all what God has and wants to say or to do.
Well, I'll tell you what, we used to have people come down and get prayed for at the old church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they were praying, I'm not going to mention no names, by the way. They were praying for a young lady, and she was getting all kinds of, I'm trying to think, is accolades or something like that. She was being encouraged, by everybody. But that ain't what the Lord's given me, and I'm thinking, do I need to drop out of this line? Because that's nothing what he's given me. Matter of fact, if anything, he's... I mean, you know, so it's basically like God wants you to be broken. All this other stuff is lies. Mm-hmm. She had a lady right behind her standing there. And when she got to me, I was almost sweating bullets. I knew I was hearing from the Lord. And she told her, she goes, girl, it's time you hear the truth. I let it go, but I knew I was doing what God had told me to say. And she fell down on her knees and started repenting immediately. I tell you what, this is what gets me about God. God's God, just like I said last week. Our God is God. And he always will be God. And you can't fool God, so don't even try. Because God will reveal it. That which you've hidden in secret, he will reveal. I mean... You know, and that which you...
So you brought forth my God.
Yeah, but anyway, it was the whole thing was... I mean, my heart was even racing. But I knew that that's what God wanted me to say.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I tell you what, there's no lie. At that time, I was fairly young then. At that time, I thought, oh my goodness, I'd like to be absent today. That's no lie. I mean, there's things going through your mind. Because you like to be like everybody else. Oh, you know, I'm going like it. Oh, Lord, this ain't what you're giving me.
Well, see, that's why I personally don't like to see people take somebody off to decide
and prophesy
to them. I that's not scriptural. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to do it out in the open.
Mm-hmm.
Let the elders judge.
Yeah.
And if it's not of the Lord, then it should be revealed.
That's right.
It's not of the Lord. And I don't like that. And if I know of people doing that, I probably would tell them you don't need to be doing that. You know.
Can I comment on that? Yeah. There has among us in the days gone by that people didn't want to yield to the authority. The authority's not us. No. The authority's God.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit's God.
It's laid out in Scripture the way that should be handled.
And when the Scripture lays it out like it does.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be, for every word given in prophecy, it's to let one prophesy and the others judge.
Right. And a lot of times the Lord will give others prophecy to build up that prophecy. And out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established.
Well, I tell you what, we went to camp one year, and Brother Jay was sitting next to me. I'm not going to mention no names, but there was a brother up there. He was doing something, and the Lord gave me a word. And told me to go up there and tell him stop doing what he was doing.
Yeah.
And I was young. I think Josh wasn't born yet, so I was young. And this is what he did. Like, oh yeah, sure. But I took Jay up there to be my judge or to judge what I was saying to that guy. Well, he began doing what God told him not to do. And three of his strings broke. He's picking the guitar. God told me to tell him to get into work. And he proclaimed out of his own mouth that night, that won't happen again. Well, the next day he got up to do what he was doing. And he said, first of all, I want to announce I've replaced all five strings. He started playing, all five strings broke. Now I'm looking at Jay, and Jay's like this. well, how long do you think he'll ignore God? I said, well, I don't know. But I said, God ain't one to be ignored. If you really want a good taste of good wine, I've never drank wine in my life. The Holy Spirit is the best wine we could ever have because it gives more life, more exciting. It gives more direction. It gives more hope than we could ever think that could happen in our lifetime. And he does it immediately. People say, oh, you know, you believe in the God immediately. I said, I'll tell you what, God has dealt with me so many times about the microwave. He said, the microwave is basically set up for people that have been impatient. I mean, I use the microwave, but that's the truth. He said, you're living in a microwave generation. Everything's got to be now, now, now.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? You worked 30 or 40 years, you got what you got because you worked 30 or 40 years.
That's right.
And we're not talking about 30 or 40 minutes. We're talking about 30 or 40 years. And, you know, and I feel for young people that haven't had that 10 years or 15 years of living in front of them. That's no lie. I mean, living in front of them. It breaks me to think that they think it's that simple.
Yes.
Well, actually, I believe it's the same way with God, progressively. I think progressively is a good thing. I mean, just in his presence, they kept on talking about his presence in heaven and everything, his presence. But God wants us to realize in his presence, there's fullness of joy right here and now. Right here and now. You can be finally, I mean, not you guys, but sometimes I drug along. And I tell you what, it works a lot better when I walk along. or even jog along, or even run along.
Yeah,
I mean, the whole thing works a lot better. Dragging's not good. Dragging becomes a weight, and that weight so easily besets us. Forgetting those things that are behind and pressing toward the mark. When we do that, it's a time to step up. And when you step up, you don't step up half-heartedly. You step up with all that is within you. Brother Eddie saying, I hear him. And all that is within me, praise his holy name. And then you start saying, God has done great things. Well, anyway, the whole thing is, I mean, it's nice to say, well, that's a nice song. But I've heard Oscar say it before. What was the difference between the guy reading the 23rd Psalm and another older gentleman reading the 23rd Psalm? The first guy read it from the book. I think the second guy read it from right in right in here. It became that which he would live. It actually possessed him.
Yeah. You know, the thing about it is you know, we were talking about, you know, talking about the gifts of the Spirit and all that stuff. Christian people have a tendency that they judge people too much by their gifts. Mm-hmm. And that's not what Scripture says. It says, by their fruits shall
yes.
you know them.
Amen.
And that goes back to the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, mm-hmm. you know, about love. Mm-hmm. And love being the greatest and the highest gift. Mm-hmm. If you can't see the love in someone, mm-hmm. you know, I don't care how gifted they are, because Scripture says that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance.
Yes, right.
And there's people who are gifted, and God has given them those gifts, and they haven't had to repent to get those gifts. You know what I'm saying? And to be honest with you, people have too much of a tendency, if it's like if somebody comes in, a brother comes in, and he's got a real strong prophetic ministry, like Brother Odell did.
Yeah.
Brother Odell had a very, very strong gift. But the thing about it was, is that you're not to judge a person by their gifts.
Right.
You're to judge them by, do they show love? Mm-hmm. You know, now, you know, I've experienced Brother Odell different times. You know, he gave me prophetic words a lot of different times. And, you know, he was right on. I mean, he was one of the most accurate people prophesying that I think
you're right
that I ever heard.
He prophesied over me.
But the funny thing is, he come in One time he'd have red hair, well, next time he'd have blonde hair, the next time he'd have a lime green suit on, or and he'd come in and he'd say, I come in smelling good and looking good and I'm going out the same way. You know. But I mean, he was very flamboyant. He was a very flamboyant guy, you know, and stuff. But I'm telling you what, I believe he really loved God. His wife died, and he ended up getting married to this another evangelist lady. You know, she was an evangelist there. And I think he was out in California or someplace, and she took him down into the rough parts of California. You know, took him down the rough parts. There was a lot of prostitutes and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I remember him talking about, you know, weeping when he saw that. Oh, just. Yeah. And see, that's when you know somebody's got the real deal.
Yes.
When they got that tender heart and they love God, and they're touched with the feeling of infirmities of others. You know, because a lot of these guys get out there and they're very charismatic in the sense that they can say the right things and do the right things at the right moment. But then when it comes to the humbleness and stuff, and I've told this story before, but this one preacher told a story, and he said that, you know, and he had a big ministry, I mean, huge ministry. And he said, you know, that he called people up for prayer. And he said, this one guy come up there, and he said, you know, he was a minister, and he told him he was a minister. And he said the Lord spoke to him and spoke to him,
mm-hmm.
the minister who was praying for people. And he said, the Lord said, did you see his shoes? And he said, I said, yes, Lord, I saw his shoes. He said, you see how raggedy they were?
Mm-hmm.
He said, yes, Lord, I saw how raggedy they were. He said, you see his pants? He said, yes, Lord, I saw his pants. He said, you see how shiny they were? You know, pants, when they get old, they get shiny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He said, yes, Lord. He said, he loves me more than you. And I mean, yes. He said, I went home and I cried and cried and cried. Because he said, I realized it's not in what you got. You know, it's in the what we were talking about before, the brokenness.
Yeah.
You know, the guy loved God. He didn't care if he had a lot of things. It didn't make any difference. But I mean, you know, and sometimes those real big ministries that, you know, you look at them and you think, wow, you know. And I'll tell you another one. I hate mentioning name. Probably shouldn't mention name. Guy came here and had a tremendous word. You know, he basically told us out there in assembly, he said, I could take you out to the deep end of the pool and drown you in his word, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, oh my God, what is this? You know, because that's not being humble when you're saying stuff like that to people. Because that guy will know where you're at unless God let him know. And God don't let everybody know everything about you. Let me tell you, if a guy's got a prophetic anointing on him, that doesn't mean that he knows everything. Even if God gives him a word for you, it doesn't mean that he knows the interpretation of that whole word, because he doesn't. And anyway, after the service, that man came out and sat down out in the front, and Audrey went over and said, I was real close to her, and I heard what she said to him, and she went over and said a couple of things to him, but she let the hair out of him a little bit, you know. Yeah. She basically, she told him, she said, you look really sick. She said, are you sick?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, and he was kind of backing off a little bit. She says, you don't look healthy at all, you know. I mean, and
telling the truth.
And she was telling the truth. I mean, she was picking this up by the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It was about, I bet it was probably within a year or so, he died at his desk, you know, in his home, I guess trying to prepare the word or whatever, but he fell over dead, you know. And, you know, it's not the gifts that God gives you. And he gives some people tremendous insight into the word and stuff, but that doesn't mean that they're any better than the little brother that takes up the collection or anything else.
That's right.
There's no big eyes. I had a guy say to me one time, the biggies prophesied over me.
Yeah.
I was like, biggies? What? There ain't no biggies in the Lord. You know? We're all littlies, and he's the big. He's the only big.
You know what I like when you were talking about Brother Odell?
Yeah.
I never saw him, but you know, you say he had red hair and blonde hair.
He was liable to come in any color.
He knew what his gift was in the spirit.
He did.
And he was, how can I say this? Be what you are.
Yeah.
He was obedient.
Yeah, he was.
He is what he was. He might have been walking in flashy or crazy looking, but he was what he
was. He was a fool for Christ.
Yeah, be who you are.
He got your attention.
That's what God wants. He wants you to be who you are in his spirit.
Right.
I had a guy at work one time. This is probably the first time he asked me anything about how to do with God. Yeah. He said, Clyde. I go, yeah. He said, if you told me, I want you to tell me who a man of God is that you know. I said, well, I've never met him.
Yeah.
He goes, what? I said, I've never met him. But I said, the Lord's impressed upon me to be impressed with the spirit that's in Billy Graham and here. And I said, I'm just telling you. I said, I believe I know him by his fruit. Mm-hmm. All right. But I want to tell you a real quick story about Billy Graham. Years ago, when he was a young man out in California, there was a guy in Pennsylvania, had a little small church, And he prayed on his knees every day for an evangelist to come to that area. Well, he wrote letters and stuff like that. He got on committees and stuff like that to get more ministers together, to bring this young evangelist that was out in California to Pennsylvania. Well, everybody was on the platform. He came, the Lord led him there. He came, had a tremendous, tremendous revival. Every night, he's writing names down. And finally, he goes up to him, where's brother such and such?
Who asked this?
Billy Graham. Where's brother such and such? Well, we can tell you where his church is. So he told him where his church was. So he goes to his church. And it's just a really small, like a one-room building. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's two rooms. Mm-hmm. But he knocks on the door, and the secretary answers the door. And she said, yeah. He said, well, I'm Billy Graham. She said, oh, I know who you are. And he said, where's brother such and such? She said, well, just go in that room right there. He's in that room. So he went in the room. He sat there on a chair for about 5 minutes. He walked out, said, ma'am, is there another way in or out of this room? He's not in that room. She said, oh, yeah, he is. He said, can you tell me where he's at? She said, the same place he's been for 2 weeks. He hasn't left for 2 weeks other than to go to the restroom or something. He said, what about food? She said, he hasn't eaten over 2 weeks. She said, you got to go around where his desk is. There'll be a lump in the carpet where he's went underneath the carpet and prayed God would bless his movement. He said he's been there the whole time. So he went in there, took that rug off of him and said, brother, such and such. And he broke down and started crying to him. He said, I want to thank you for your obedience. And of course, the word says obedience is better than sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And he found him doing both. He was obedient, and yet he was sacrificing. Mm-hmm. He got him up and hugged him. He said, I want to thank you, and I want to thank God for you, that the Christ in you has brought everything to pass. Mm-hmm. Never attended a meeting.
Probably all of the great moves where there's been a tremendous move of God has come through people praying. People praying. Not no special minister, not no special, but actually
not
people
to be seen.
Praying,
yeah.
And then God moves however he's going to move in, whoever he's going to move in. And, you know, like even that situation like there, that brother, probably a lot of that success that Billy Graham was having because that brother was doing a lot of interceding for him.
I've heard it a lot of times, teachers, preachers would get up and say, you want God to move, come together in prayer. Mm-hmm. Come into unity in prayer.
Sure.
And he says, he listens to those. He moves in those. You know why? Because he sees the people that are broken.
Yeah.
I wanted to read this. And when Oscar was talking before about love, it just, I felt the Lord say, yeah, you've been waiting and waiting to read this, but I was waiting until the right time. So let me just kind of close with this. Okay. This is the first verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 in the Mirror Bible. I think it's beautiful. Agape. You remember we talked about agape last week and what it was like. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me beside still waters. Agape is God's only agenda.
Right.
In all of this. By be love driven in your pursuit of spiritual gifts. Love awakens your most earnest desire to speak with inspired revelation. The best way to pursue love and spiritual gifts is to realize how pursued you are by love. I thought that was just
That's beautiful.
Good,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
So anyway, Buddy,
yes.
Will you close with a word of prayer?
Thank you, Father, we just thank you for this class. Father, we thank you for sharing your word among us, Father.
Yes, Father.
Father, we know that the best gift of all, and the choice of one of all, is your love,
yes.
And the love that we have for you. We just thank you, Father. We praise you.
Thank you.
Just honor you, Father, because you are bringing us all to be one in one.
Yes.
Father, we just give you our love.
Yes.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise you, Lord.